Welcome to the Life with Impact podcast with me, Charlene Saker. I'm joined here by Nicole Daniel. She's our expert guest, and she's been talking with me through this powerful parenting series. We are on week six, and I can't believe that we are already on week six.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to the first five episodes, then you can actually go and have a look on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on our website, on our app, and also view the YouTube video on our channel, Impact Online. So, Nicole, welcome back, and thanks for being here again.
Thank you so much, Charlene.
So, we've spoken about building meaningful relationships, and we've also spoken recently about parent wellness, how to lead by example and take care of ourselves so that we can lead well. Now, we're going to turn our attention back to our kiddies. And today's conversation is all about helping our children flourish. Nicole, can you explain to us what you mean by that?
Yes, of course. So what I really want to just start off explaining is that every child is different and every parent is different. And so when we discuss today's topic, I think it's important that we keep that in mind, that we're really going to be addressing a broad range of topics and ideas and suggestions, but really just being mindful of the space that you're in and the space that your child is in is important. And today we really want to focus on just helping our children navigate life, helping them flourish, and not necessarily just academically, but really just giving them a space to bloom where they are planted.
Yeah.
And understanding that every child is different is so important. Mm. So, you know, obviously just understanding the foundation of, you know, the previous episode as well, understanding the space we're in, managing and navigating our own things so that we can lead the way for our children is the foundation.
Mm.
And also, you know, other things that we need to be aware of is, again, that connection. Yeah. Connection is key.
Yes.
Irrespective of what we look at and how we manage life with our kids, we need to have that foundation of connection.
Yeah, for sure.
Building that healthy relationship with them is so important. And so some of the things that we want to look at is understanding what are our expectations of our children, our expectations of, you know, ourselves as parents. And at the core of it, at the heart of it, really just making sure that we are the anchors for our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is it's been such a good thing for me to also just mull over, and it's come up again and again that connection is the foundation. So we can't just go and it's not a quick fix. It's not just behavior modification, like stop behaving like this. That's I think what makes parenting so hard is that it's long-term commitments with probably little reward right now, but connection takes time, and it's messy and it's ineffective. You know, my husband always says, because he's an architect and more in the corporate world, and he always says it's like so hard for him to shift gears from work mode to home family mode where nothing is effective. It's like, you know, I mean, you know what it feels like as a mom. By the end of the day, it feels like it looks worse than it did in the morning, and you feel like you've worked so hard, but you can't show anything for
it.
You know, and so, yeah. But the point is, it's about connection. Mm. That is the priority here.
For sure.
So we're talking about having our children flourish. What are some of the important foundational aspects of this idea of them flourishing?
Okay, so when we look at creating that foundation, again, it's about making sure that we have that relationship with our children. And that means spending time with them and understanding that our time with them looks different. For every child, time looks different. Whether you are spending time with your toddler or spending time with your teen, it looks different, but they need time.
Yeah.
They want to know that they want to feel heard and seen and understood. And it is so important that if we are wanting our children to flourish, and like I say, whether it is academically, socially, emotionally, if we want our children to thrive, we need to invest in them.
Yeah.
And this means really just focusing on a relationship basis. That is the foundation of everything.
Mm.
And understanding that when we, for example, ask them, You know, how was their day? And sometimes they do. Sometimes they say, no, it was fine. And you say, okay, let's look at, depending on the age, on a scale of 1 to 10, how fine was your day? 10 being really super great fine, like it was a good fine, or 1 being fine, it was okay.
Yeah.
Because we can actually get so much information just by doing that.
Mm.
So when we ask our children, how was their day? How are they doing? Who are they spending time with? What is their online, you know, platform? What are they actually engaging with?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be present and interested.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for our children to really thrive and flourish, they want to know that my mom, my dad, or my parent just knows that I exist. They are seeing value in what I have to offer. Mm. And you know, to be honest, sometimes, especially for teens, that can be really tough. Because they're going through such a whirlwind of a life phase. But actually, their whole life is on fire.
Mm.
And so we really want to see, what can we hold on to when we're looking at our kids? What can we hold on to and feel, this is what I am investing in? I'm investing in not the challenges or difficulties that is now, that is temporary, but how am I going to invest in you lifelong? And I think that really comes down to them knowing that they are good enough.
Yeah.
And with that, we need to make sure that when we communicate our expectations, we are very clear and we're realistic. Because so often we are trying to compensate for our own experiences, trying to give them a better life, or whatever it is, that we lose sight of, what does my child actually need?
So good, yeah.
Does my child need me to be present all the time?
Mm.
Does my child need me to have a clean home? What does my child need from me at that point?
Yeah.
And you know, the tough thing is if we don't recognize the space that they're in and we don't recognize that earlier on, it will invariably manifest in their behavior.
Mm.
And before we know it, we're facing a situation where things just feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so we really want to make sure that if we're going to encourage our kids to reach their potential, to know that our expectations need to be put aside.
Yeah.
Because our children, I believe our children weren't given to us for us to shape and to mold and to make sure that they are successful human beings. That's God's job.
Yeah.
I heard someone once say that they're almost on loan to us to just impart a part of our stories on them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't define them. It also just becomes part of their story.
Mm.
So, you know, we really need to work towards how do we invest in them, giving them a sense of belonging that they know that they are good enough and worthy.
Yeah, no, it's so important. And I think about it, if I can put on like my coaching hats, I deal a lot with adults who have limiting beliefs and they can't really move forward in their lives because they get stuck. And it often boils down to a belief, something they believed about themselves when they were a child.
Yeah.
I remember one of the people that I coached, their dad had said to them, just please stay in your box. It was a metaphor for just please just calm down and stop being so different.
Yes.
And that those words had carried right through their lives and into adulthood. And so when you talk, I realize that we need to, like you say, see what our children really need and understand that that the behaviors are often linked to something they believe about themselves. And so the way that we reassure them and blow wind in their sails and affirm them is such a big part of them flourishing.
Yes.
It's those words. We become their inner voice. I think
absolutely.
You mentioned that before.
Yeah.
So how can we support them more? You spoke about belonging. How can we support our children and really be intentional with making them feel like they belong?
Yes. I think definitely, again, that sense of time and being available. You know, if we are wanting to spend time with our children, we need to make sure that whatever way works for us, we need to be present with them.
Yeah.
And so, for example, when I would spend time with Olivia, if we have our set playtime, because I have a million things going on in my mind and I think I still have to clean and cook and do all these, you know, parental things, I set an alarm because then I know I don't have to think about all the other stuff I have to do, because for that period in time, I'm just going to focus on her.
Yeah.
And for that time, she needs to be the most important person, because life is going to carry on, but she needs to know, you know, that they're good enough. Your child needs to know that they are worthy and deserving of your time.
Yes.
You know, and when they get little snippets throughout the day or throughout the week, it's so much easier to navigate. They feel more grounded. They feel more settled and safe and secure. Then if we need to say, I don't have time for this because I need to slot out an hour a day, it's not necessarily realistic. Not all of our schedules allow that.
Yeah.
So if we, when we are available, we are present and we are there. We want to give them that space that when they talk about their day, you know, we also have our days and we can communicate, you know, back and forth about that, engage in our day and their day, but really actually listening, listening to what they're saying. And we'll talk about it in another episode, but understanding that there's that space between what they are communicating and how they're communicating it. So if they're saying one thing, is that what they really need, or is there a hidden need that we need to be aware of? And something that I've journeyed with quite a few teens as well, and kids actually, and their parents. And it's always, I always have to have a chuckle when I speak to parents about this, because I say, if your child knows what I'm going to tell you, they're going to kill me. But they need structure. They need rules. They need routine. They need chores. You know, so often, because we're trying to create this image of a perfect parent, we tend to do things for our kids that actually we're robbing them from learning. And we shouldn't do that. You know, and in no means, I'm by far not a model parent. I mean, I've made my good fair share of mistakes. But I mean, Olivia was 2 years old and she knew her responsibility in the home was to put her clothes in the washbox. She was two and she knew how to do that. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, okay, sometimes I'll do it. Okay, if you don't feel like it, I'll get irritated enough and she knows I'll do it. That is so often what happens.
Yes.
Because children are so clever. And they know if they resist enough, oh, don't worry, mom or dad will just pick up and do it.
And that is, that's a product of being in a rush, because it's like, if I do it myself, it would be way more efficient.
Yes.
I'm very much a culprit in that, because I'm just like, it is so much faster if I do it myself.
Yes.
But this is again why we need to create margin in our lives and make time, because they need to learn.
They do. And, you know, this again is the example that we set. So, you know, we're not going to create a space where we're so rigid. So I know that if she's having, if she's had a really tough day, I'm going to communicate that I'm going to help you do it because I can see you've had a tough day. Or if, you know, her routine or her, the rule or whatever you want to call it, the chore in our home is that when we unpack the car from coming home, she takes her own bag in. And it's been brutal sometimes. I have a very strong-willed child, so she will happily and confidently leave her bag outside.
Yes.
And it's about sticking to what you say, because what you say has to be what you mean. So her bag will stay outside because she knows confidently, I don't go back on my word. What I say, I mean, and what I mean, I say. I say what I mean. So she knows without a doubt that if I tell her something, she can bank on it. So when I tell her, I'm here, I'm going to hear you out, she knows. And it's not about creating this rigid space. Every child is different. But if we create that sense of belonging, it is so important, because your child is part of your family. And so with the parents that I work with, that's how I usually communicate it, is as part of this family, this is what each of us does. So, you know, like we model our behavior. So no one parent can't be chilling on the couch while the other parent picks up everything. It's teamwork.
I really like that. I've heard that said before. And so I've been trying to implement it, but you're reminding me, because that language is actually so cool, because it's like we're in our house, we're team Saker. What does team Saker need? Like, we all do our parts. We're all part of the team and we have different roles. I mean, if we now want to get into the biblical sense, then we're going to talk about our body having many different parts and different functions, and that is how it works. And so it's also something that they can buy into. And I like the idea of even having that conversation with them, maybe when they're older, but like what is important to us as a family, and really having them buy into that vision of as a family.
Yes. But you know, you don't even need to wait until they're older. If they're able to put some words together, if you are constantly communicating that, like for us, honest and open is important in our family. We're creating that sense of family, that sense of cohesion.
Yeah.
So in our family, this is how we do things. Because they'll also, at some point, I'm very aware that at some point there's going to be a, yes, but so-and-so's mom does it this way.
Yes.
That's natural. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is we want to really create that sense of, yes, there are always going to be differences. And it's the same as, so I always explain with older children, I explain it as well, like my work environment, that as part of this work environment, as part of this family, I have certain things that I need to do. Do I always want to do them? No, because I'm human. But as part of this family, I have responsibility. And we really want to enable our children to get that sense of belonging and self-worth, because we ultimately want them to feel like they belong with us.
Yeah.
They belong to our family. So when they are engaging with other children and other families and things that are out there in the world, they have a sense of, okay, this is what's happening, but this is not my space. This is not how we do it. Yes. Because it's that unity that we want to create in a world that is so broken.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your family looks like, but it is. As part of this family, we are all responsible for certain things. So as part of this family, you are required to please do A and B. Mom does this, dad does this, sibling does this, whatever it may look like. But we have to create that sense of togetherness. This is how we deal with things. And I think just making sure that we are communicating that sense of we don't need to escape certain things. We don't need to behave a certain way. And when we do, we make room for that, that it's okay. This is how our family does it. We are honest and open in our family.
Yes.
So we don't need to necessarily wait until they're older, because if we are constantly communicating in our family, being honest and open is important. In our family, we tell the truth. In our family, we don't judge. In our family, you are loved. If we keep communicating and reinforcing these concepts, it's creating a neural pathway that will stay with them.
Yeah. No, it's so, so important. It's that stability, the boundary. And I just think of what you're talking about, you know, what other families do. I had that argument with my daughter this morning because she's got a bright pink and a bright green hairband in her ponies. And she's like, she wants to wear it to school. And I'm like, no, it has to be navy blue because that's the school colors.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, but a lot of my friends don't wear the right colors, or they wear like different colors.
Yes.
And I'm like, but girl, it's, that's, we want to do the right thing. We want to follow the rules, or whatever it is. But, but that comes up a lot. But again, I think it's about a collaboration with the kids as well, not just telling them. I find that my kids, if I start asking questions and ask them for their inputs and be part of the conversation, then they really buy into it because they understand why it's important.
Yes.
They understand that it's important to actually be honest and build trust. And if we do that, then we can actually have a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know?
And it's so difficult because I think more often than not, we have grown up understanding that there is no negotiation. There is no room for communication. It's a do as you're told, end of discussion.
Yeah.
And there is room for that, I understand, because if there is danger or harm, then we need to understand that it's now time. That's where the boundaries comes in. We've discussed this. It's now time to listen.
Yeah.
But if we don't, you know, there was something that I had read some time back, and it was so incredible, understanding that we are wanting our children to question things in the world. We want them to challenge certain thought processes, but we won't allow them to do it with us. And there's a fine line. There really is a fine line. We can have one child that will be more compliant, that will be, you know, if you give them an instruction, if you ask them something, they'll willingly do it. But also on the other side, you can have a child that wants to understand, are you sure you're wanting me to actually do this? You know, and I believe there has to be there has to be give and take. There has to be, it's not a free-for-all negotiation, you're going to win the power struggle, because that's, I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But if we're allowing them space to question, space to understand, space to just make sense of something, so that they can, it doesn't matter how old they are, because we're actually creating that pathway of communication.
Yeah.
To seek out knowledge, to question things when things don't make sense.
Yeah.
I, for one, want my child to do that. And it is difficult raising someone that wants to always understand, you know, do you, how far are we going to push this? How sure are you you want me to do this?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think just being aware of your child and your child's needs is so important.
Yeah.
Giving them the space to actually just be who God created them to be.
Yeah, my son Eli's like that. He wants to know how everything works in great detail.
Yes.
And I realize, you know, we can often just bulldoze over that and say a child like that's being disobedient. But actually, it's that I'm in a rush and I don't want, I haven't actually taken the time to explain it properly. So sometimes, obviously, like you say, we want to teach our kids respect.
Yes.
They need to be able to submit to authority. Yes. Because it's good for them. Otherwise, yes. they'll never be able to have a boss or ever function in society if they can't follow some set of rules. But we're also not there. Discipline isn't just coming down on them when they've done something wrong. It's guiding them. Remember that the Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, but they guide me. A rod was used to actually guide the sheep. And so... Yeah. Discipline is actually training, correction, instruction. So I just think that's so important to remember that we are actually teaching them something. So if your kid is opposing you on something you're saying, then that's an opportunity to get into a conversation with them and ask them why. Because sometimes they have a different perspective.
Yes.
I've often seen how easy it is to, you know, in a conflict with the siblings or whatever, and it's like, I don't want to hear it, like, just don't do it. But they like have this sense of justice, like, but I haven't had a chance to explain what really happened.
Yeah.
And so I do think kids need that space within a boundary
absolutely.
I'm not going to disrespect authority, but it's also up to us to respect them as individuals and what they have to say.
I must say, I think that's where, you know, now that I'm reflecting on it, there's a game that we play in our family that, you know, Olivia will always be able to ask why. So if we have something silly that we're discussing and she'll say why, and then we play along with it, and then we, why is this red? And okay, it's red because, and then we go along with it. But then she knows there's a point where we're like, the game is finished now.
Yeah.
Then she knows. And I mean, this is obviously just in a playful way that she's now asking, you know, when the kids want to know why this.
Yeah.
But we do it in such a playful way so that she knows we can engage in conversation. But when mommy or daddy say the game is finished, she's also understanding there comes a point where it's done now. So it's the same as then when we do have a conversation. She's also now, because that's the pathway we've created, that we can engage in conversation. But she'll know there's going to come a time where the conversation now needs to come to an end.
Yeah. I remember hearing someone say that, let your yeses be many, but your noes are non-negotiable.
Yes.
And so that's, I try to live by that, but that's not always possible. But you don't want to always be saying no, 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 no.
Yeah.
But they do need to know when we say no, not
we mean
now.
It.
We really mean it and we stick to it.
Absolutely.
So as we end off the conversation, is there anything that, any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I think just making sure again that our expectations are being communicated clearly and reasonably, making sure that we don't micromanage them. We're so often taking away the opportunity to learn and explore and develop by trying to manage the world around them that we end up overly safeguarding them, making sure, oh, no, I'll do this and don't worry, you know, I'll help you through this. But actually, what could you have done maybe a bit differently? Mm. So if they, you know, perform badly in a test for them and they feel, you know, heart sore, explore that. Mm. It makes sense that you feel disappointed about this. What do you think you could have done differently?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, well, I told you, you should have studied.
No, exactly.
Because we need to give that space that we can't micromanage our kids. I know, and I fall short of that sometimes, where you want to safeguard them, you want them to, you know, be protected or to avoid painful experiences. Mm. Something silly like if my daughter goes through something tough, I can only think of a silly example, like dropping her ice cream, you know, mm. something humiliating. And understanding that's my context as well, I want to try and minimize it. But it's actually terrible because she needs to go through that to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I think just being aware of what are we actually trying to gain mm. from something that we're doing? Mm. Are we trying to support our children to develop their own sense of self? Or are we actually just trying to, you know, tunnel them into a direction, steer them into a direction that we want for their lives?
Yeah.
Because again, we're on borrowed time with them. We want to know, and I'll happily explain it in another episode, but when we look at, there's a hanging bridge of transformation when we look at our teens. And what that's about is when our teen goes from childhood to adulthood, they're on this hanging bridge of transformation. You're not just allowed on that bridge. And it's so difficult for a parent to actually understand or to mm-hmm. actually process because that sounds so painful.
Yeah.
But the reality is if we have spent time with them and invested with them in childhood, they will actually invite us on the bridge.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we want to do to help them flourish mm. is being present and giving them the space to explore, giving them the space to connect, letting them know that when you speak, what you say matters and yeah. I want to know more.
Yeah. Nicole, thank you so much. I wish we could talk about this for another hour because there's so much there's so much to say around this topic. But thank you. We're going to still have a couple more conversations in this series, Powerful Parenting.
Yeah.
So go and have a listen to the previous episodes. All of these episodes kind of stand on their own, but then also are linked together. And it is really a wonderful resource. And go and listen to it a few times. Go back to it because as parents, when we're in the deep end, we forget. We go back to our defaults. So let us revisit these important conversations often. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you, Charlene.